How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Hey, what's going on, friends? My podcast every day is broken up into two parts on the free platform. The first part, Act 1, is right now. When it's all done, go right on over to Act 2 to get the second half of the podcast. Thank you so much for checking out my show. Okay, welcome in. Hello, my friends. Welcome to the Eric Thames Show podcast. A daily show where I discuss news, nonsense, and my personal adventures. From right here in the Impact Power Sports studio. Impact Power Sports, you can find them online at impactpowersportsmi.com. Outstanding organization there. Under new ownership. Same familiar faces, though, that you remember from the past. Because the new guy, Mark, comes in. He goes, yeah, I'm going to buy the place. But all you people that like owned it before and ran it, I still want you to do the same thing. Okay, great. So it all works out. If you're in the market for an ATV, UTV, side-by-side, e-bike, Yamaha, golf cart, perhaps, motorcycle, snowmobile, golf cart. No, wait, I said that. Go-kart, I should say. Zero-turn radius lawnmower. They have all these things there. Okay, go there and check it out. Shop in person. Over at Impact Power Sports in Rockford, Michigan. Exact locations, hours of operation, all that fun stuff. And you can look at some of the merchandise on their website, impactpowersportsmi.com. Thank you so much for being part of the show. As always, you can reach me, drop me a line, send me an email, eric@ericzaneshow.com. That is the Shoreliners Striping inbox. They are a good group over there at Shoreliner Striping. Thank you to the parking lot striper. Okay, so I want to get right after what I talked about in the title, or what I have listed in the title, which is, you know, it's pretty serious stuff. One of the churches in West Michigan that was founded here and is all across the country is known as the Pentecostal Reform. Wait a minute, I'm getting that wrong. Protestant Reformed Church. I'm off to a bad start. The Protestant Reformed Church, otherwise known as the PRC. Okay? And there is a story that just came out from investigative reporter Ken Kolker from Wood TV 8. And this thing dropped yesterday. And, oh boy. It is just blowing up, because what you have here is yet again another story going back decades of church leaders molesting children, and then the subsequent cover-up by the church. Not all that different. In fact, not at all different than when we've seen this in the past. And it's ugly. They even went so far, and you'll see and hear in this report, and it's a long bit of coverage. This is going to piss you off. I don't expect a lot of laughs here, but you never know with me. Joke number one. Catholics are like, phew, thank God. They even went so far in this to detail how the church decided, all right, we need an investigation into ourselves. And they hired their own firm to, like, investigate. And then they determined these at a yearly meeting called the, do I say synod or synod? I don't know. It's S-Y-N-O-D. I don't even know how to say that word. I've lived here 20 years. I'm like, what's a synod? What's a synod? I guess that's when they all get together and talk church shit and decide about how much they're going to hate gay people and shit like that. Joke number two. But they then said, all right, we need to investigate ourselves. All these kids have been touched. Oh, my God. And then the following year, you'll hear about it here, they then said, actually, we're not going to do that anymore. We're going to keep it in-house. This is all in-house. This is so fucked up. This is going to piss you off so badly. Adam says it's pronounced Sinold. Sinold? Synod. You wrote Sinold. Synod. Okay. All right. So get ready. This is a big one. Great job to Ken Kolker. He did so much investigating
Michigan
here.
And congregations around the world. A church with deep roots in West Michigan and congregations around the world turned 100 this year. But instead of celebrating, the Protestant Reformed Churches in America, the PRC, is struggling with what it has called the private sin of child sexual abuse and decades of covering up for abusers, many of them church leaders. Target 8 investigator Ken Kolker and producer Carter Gent spoke to survivors and church leaders and obtained church investigations and police reports. They also confronted some of those identified in church records as abusers. Ken is live in the studio with our special report, Private Sin.
Amber, a recently released report obtained by Target 8 says the Protestant Reformed Church has violated state laws that require clergy and educators to report the sexual abuse of children. Over the decades, only one of the dozens of child sexual assault allegations tied to the church has led to criminal charges.
I was very angry at God, very angry at God. I didn't understand how, if what I was taught and what the Bible says, that He is a kind, loving, trustworthy, all-powerful, everywhere present God, then He was in that room. In that car every time she put her hands on me.
The Protestant Reformed Church, known as the PRC, was founded in Grand Rapids, splintering from the Christian Reformed Church in 1924. Its 8,000 or so members are spread across 32 churches in the U.S., about a third of those in West Michigan. Last year, faced with a church divided over decades of sexual abuse and cover-ups, its governing body hired a third party, Guidepost Solutions, to investigate. The nearly year-long investigation cost the church $358,000.
I literally thought, because they hired them, that in and of itself for this denomination to do was mind-boggling. Like, we celebrated the day it passed and that they said, yes, we're going to do it. Like, we celebrated.
Okay, so at this point, cops are not involved. So this lady now, she's an adult, obviously, and that other lady, they were touched when they were kids. They were molested. And so far after the fact, the church is like, all right, yeah, well, we got to get to the bottom of this. Let's hire an in-house organization to determine how rapey we are. I've never really been able to process that. How it is that someone says that they were touched and the first call is not like the cops. You know, I mean, like, it was like that with Sandusky and Penn State, and it's like that in the Catholic Church, and apparently it's here. What the fuck?
Guidepost conducted a church-wide survey, set up a hotline, interviewed survivors and others. But earlier this year at Synod 2024, church leaders denounced the report, voting that they never should have hired Guidepost in the first place.
Okay. 1 year earlier, we're hiring Guidepost to see how gross we are. 1 year later, this is bullshit. Can't believe we did this. That's what's happening here.
Some church leaders feared Satan was working through Guidepost to harm the PRC.
They hired Guidepost to see how rapey they are. A year later, they said, no, we're not doing that. The devil is in charge of Guidepost. That's what grown, educated men said. You'll notice this is all men. The women are not allowed to participate in this. This is one of those groups, okay? Women are not allowed to have any type of role in the organization of the PRC.
So the third party will not investigate specific cases as planned. Instead, that will be done by church consistories, the elders and pastors at each church.
Is there any guarantee those consistories will do what's required and go to the police if there's an allegation?
No guarantee, no.
Oh, this is Clayton Spronk, a PRC pastor.
I mean, what they should do.
That's what they're required by law and by the scriptures to do.
The idea that they would rather protect the name of a denomination than to help living, breathing human beings is just gutting to me.
The Reverend Ronald Kaminga, a retired pastor, was an advisor to the church leaders who voted to end the outside investigation.
The issue was, we're investigating sin, and in Reformed churches, the Reformed tradition, that's the responsibility of elders.
Okay. So this guy, he's in on it. We're investigating sin. Well, okay. But you're also investigating criminal activity. And you shouldn't even be investigating criminal activity to begin with. And so for you to suggest, oh yeah, hey, this is just within our walls because it's a sin, so no big deal. What the fuck?
Elders may have not carried out their responsibility in the past, but that doesn't change the fact that they have the responsibility and that they need to fulfill that responsibility.
But when sin is the sexual abuse of children, should that be left to people other than elders?
Certainly. It should be reported to the authorities.
Okay. And that's not been done in the past.
It is being done. I know it's being done in the last few years. I know that for a fact.
Guidepost report obtained by Target 8 described a history of sexual abuse allegations in 29 of the church's 32 U.S. congregations. In those churches, it uncovered a total of 43 abusers and people who mishandled allegations of child sexual abuse. During interviews.
By the way, I like how Guidepost does this review. The church says, all right, fuck these guys. And Ken goes ahead and he gets it from Guidepost. That's spectacular. Like he finds it out.
It also found 45 cases of sexual abuse involving the church's schools, including some in West Michigan.
I've known since I was in seminary that the Protestant Reformed Church has had a bit of a problem with sexual abuse in handling it.
The impression that we're left with is...
What does this say about all these people who have turned a blind eye, including this Spronk fella and that other jackass on the golf course? Most people, if they're in an organization that this has happened, you know, you might want to distance yourself to some degree from this. I can't comprehend it. It seems so basic. It seems like such a common sense thing here, but every one of these assholes enables it, frankly.
That many more leaders and people care more about the name of the institution and not speaking badly about leaders.
According to Guidepost, when faced with allegations, the church has relied on the Bible. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15, quote, "If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over."
Okay, so... they are suggesting there that when it comes to a child being molested, you look to scripture to deal with it, period.
Some interviewed by Guidepost, quote, were taught that ministers and elders were appointed by God to be leaders. So how could a person say anything bad about them? The PRC is a church run only by men, where women are not allowed in any position of authority and are not allowed to vote on church matters.
So gross. So what we have here is that at its face value, the whole idea that it's run by dudes and no girls allowed. You know, these guys have wives. Can you imagine what it must be like behind closed doors in these households? I mean, that just, I can only guess what type of nightmare scenario that would be with that playing out. I mean, come on.
Some victims kept quiet, including Heidi Waldheis, who says she was molested in 1979 by her sixth grade teacher.
Gross.
Hulda Kuiper at Hope Protestant Reform School in Walker. Hulda Kuiper, 79, by her sixth grade teacher. Hulda Kuiper.
Hulda Kuiper. All right.
At Hope Protestant Reform School in Walker.
Where was I going to go and who was I going to talk to? It's like I learned how to disappear. Just disappear.
According to church reports, her abuser molested at least five young students. Hulda Kuiper was 90 when she died in 2022. Never charged with a crime. The pastor at Faith PRC in Hudsonville, who supported the investigation, says he has spoken to about 10 child sexual assault survivors.
Okay, yeah, so this guy Spronk here, he's just up the road, supported the investigation. The fact that he is still just business as usual makes him just as guilty, in my opinion.
Survivors across the denomination.
In my mind, the sexual abuse that they suffered is horrific, and I can't think of anything worse.
Right.
But almost all of them, and I believe I could say all of them who I have asked about this will tell me and say that the mishandling of their case by the church hurts more.
All right.
That's astounding.
What hurts the most is the church not having your back, the church abandoning you, the church saying, we're done helping you, and you need to heal, you need to move on, and you need to go be a mom and a wife.
Get over it.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Hudsonville.
There's got to be some type. Isn't there like no statute of limitations on something like this? How come there's no cops involved in any of this? I don't understand.
Yes.
The Hudsonville District Court judge sentenced the 73-year-old ex-pastor to 45 days in jail.
The guidepost investigation was prompted in part by the assault conviction of longtime pastor Ronald Van Overloop.
I remember this.
The only conviction among those identified as abusers.
I remember feeling weird and it feeling wrong.
He got 45 days in jail in 2022 for inappropriately touching a
45 days in jail?
Teenage girl while counseling her at his parsonage at Grace Protestant Reformed Church in Ottawa County.
For me, it was just a case of like the inappropriate touching.
He stroked her leg, she said in court, and held her in a long, uncomfortable hug. It was her case that led to his assault conviction.
I mean, he had a number of victims, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
I remember hearing a dozen or more.
Yes, he did.
One girl told Ottawa County detectives that he asked her to sit on his lap, touched her inappropriately, and kissed her on the lips on at least 10 occasions. Police say it went on for several years, starting in 2009, too long ago in her case for criminal charges. What? But other girls came forward with similar stories.
Okay, I guess there is some type of statute.
Including Elise Molker, who said it happened during a counseling session in the pastor's study.
I remember adults always saying like, oh, he has such a passion for working with the young people. And like, oh, he just really loves kids. Like he would go around after church giving us all hugs. And
according to the police report, victims were reluctant to come forward because church leaders, quote, have been very intentional about encouraging their constituents not to go to the authorities when physical or sexual abuse occurs within families or the church.
This doesn't add up in my brain. How can this possibly be the go-to? Don't tell anybody. Hold on a second. I'll send it as soon as I'm done. I'm in a text exchange with Ken here. I asked him to join me. And I think there's, because of the sensitive nature of this, he's got, pretty much just leaving it here on the TV and the online report. And I don't think there's going to be any discussion of it further because this is quite a bombshell. They probably want to just, I imagine to get this story done took an extensive amount of legal work to ensure that there was no type of defamation, you know?
Van Overloop, according to the police report, had told church leaders, quote, they are not to go to authorities about reported abuse. Wow. Elise Molker says church leaders eventually asked her to meet with them.
Having an older man like violate you in some way and then having a bunch of other older men be like, oh, yeah, come tell us about this. And oh, yeah, he might be in the room when we have this conversation. Wow. Like, I was like, no.
Van Overloop, fired by the church, is now 75, living in Georgetown Township.
Okay. Ken is going to bang on this guy's door. Oh, my God. Which, by the way, he can't live any more than like 2 miles away from me, this Van Overloop character.
Now 75, living in Georgetown Township.
Hi, I'm looking for Ron Van Overloop.
Van Overloop refused to comment, but Target 8 tracked down another former elder, Don Faber, from First Protestant Reformed Church in Grand Rapids.
Hold on. This Van Overloop, it took him 1 second, and then he just slammed the door right in Ken's face.
Hi, I'm looking for Ron Van Overloop.
Van Overloop refused to comment, but Target 8 tracked down another former elder, Don Faber, from First Protestant Reformed Church in Grand Rapids.
Hey, I'm trying to reach Don Faber.
Yes.
Faber molested as many as 10.
Now, you might notice that Ken started with that microphone down and then pulled it up at the last second. That is a veteran move.
Yes.
Faber molested as many as 10 boys in the 1980s, according to police reports, confessing to the sin 10 years later. But church leaders did not call police for what they called his, quote, criminal activity, saying the statute of limitations had expired.
Wait a minute. I was thinking of something else, and I missed what the church said about that.
What they called his, quote, criminal activity, saying the statute of limitations had expired. Faber's 88, still a member in good standing in the PRC.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Did they just say... Sorry, I'm stupid.
Faber molested as many as 10 boys in the 1980s, according to police reports, confessing to the sin 10 years later.
Okay.
But church leaders did not call police for what they called his, quote, criminal activity, saying the statute of limitations had expired. Faber's 88,
still allowed to
a member in good standing in the PRC, living in Walker with his wife.
And allegations of sexual abuse that you're identified in some... Could you at least deny those?
It's all been taken care of.
Yeah. It's all
taken care of 25 years ago. Yep.
Okay. Well, have you been? There've been no criminal charges.
Oh, no.
There are still victims out there.
I was very angry at God.
Jean Bilesma is a survivor who came forward too late to prosecute the woman she says molested her repeatedly when she was 14, while a student at Heritage Christian School in Hudsonville. The woman was her basketball coach. She says the church has not done enough to hold the woman accountable. She's still a member of the church that she loves.
I want to have the hard discussions. I want to, even if it's raising voice and the tears flow and we get frustrated, at least let's talk about it. Because if we don't talk about it, we're never going to change. And in 10 years, we're going to have a whole new batch of victims.
I wouldn't be talking.
If you're experienced,
kicking somebody's ass. This seems so bizarre to me that, like, there hasn't been any type of reckoning, at least with the Catholics, when the lid was blown off, when there was no one left to hide. You know, as that swept across the nation. The domino started to fall. This seems like the institution is doing the only thing that they're working very hard at is protecting these animals. My God. And the fact that now that this story is out, I'm I'm curious about what people will do that are involved in these congregations and these schools. How can you possibly allow this? How can you allow your children to be in this environment that protects child molesters? I don't get it. I don't understand. So many comments. Miss Twatalot says, in this a case where vigilante justice is warranted, is this a case where vigilante justice is warranted? Can we become a version of the adjuster? I just had the realization because when I was texting Ken, I said, yeah, he asked for the link. I go, I'll send you the link when I'm done so he can check it out. And here I am introducing people in the chat as Ms. Twatalot, which I think is Becca Shea, correct? Didn't I give you that name? Linda says people will still go to these churches, in quotes there, because they're brainwashed. And I think that that also, when it comes to, remember we talked about how the church is run by dudes, the women, it's like subservient, you know? They seem brainwashed too. No, Miss Twatalot is not Becca Shea. Becky, that's it. I got you right. Okay, that's right. I called you that yesterday. Topa says the same thing. Because they are brainwashed, they really think they're going to go to hell if they don't call the church and ask. Let's see. Hang on, I got to sneeze. Stand by. God, I'm all over the place. Stevie can't believe that guy who 25 years ago, that he's in good standing. There should not be a statute of limitations. God. Amy says, I can't imagine being the wife of that child molester. Becky says, bless Ken Kolker. He's the new Leon Hendricks. Well, those are amazing shoes to fill. Ken has done investigations for quite some time. Leon is the reporter. At least he was. I wish he was a reporter again. God, this is really, really frustrating. Really, really frustrating. And I don't know if anything comes of it. Becky says one of my close friends was impacted by this. Her now ex-husband assaulted her daughter, and he was forgiven by the church and taken in by them after he was released from jail. I offered to help hide his body. Tofa says, it's time to go to church and whoop some priest ass. Yeah, these aren't priests. These are, I think they're described as pastors. That is the term. Hey, it's Eric Zane for one of my favorite sponsors, UncommonGoods.com. Now, when you shop at UncommonGoods.com, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. UncommonGoods.com have searched all around the globe to get some of the most amazing makers of handcrafted products that are made in small amounts. Shop now before they sell out this holiday season. Seriously, just go check out the selection from all the different types of amazing products and gifts that you can get at UncommonGoods.com. From holiday host and hostess gifts to the coolest finds for kids to hits for everyone from book lovers to diehard sports fans. Just shop around. I'm telling you, the folks who get the gifts purchased through UncommonGoods.com are always going away satisfied and happy and giving you a look like, how did you think of this amazing, awesome gift? Basically, all you need to do is go to UncommonGoods.com and I'm going to give you 15% off your next gift. All you have to do is go to uncommongoods.com/Zane. Uncommongoods.com/Zane for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Priest is Catholic. They've got their own set of problems. Telfis has a comment. Do you know how much better the world would be without organized religion? They sure do a lot to make it difficult to dispute that. Boy, there's just so many comments. Just almost too many to look at. Tyler says the church is the perfect place for pedophiles. Ridiculous. That pretty much solidifies it. I'm not going near a church. Forget it. I'm just gonna pray to baby Jesus. Raise some money for sick kids, feed some people at the Great Food Giveaway, try to do the right thing, and included in that is make fun of free beer whenever I can. I don't think there's a place for anyone in organized religion. Let's just get out from under that. All right. Yes, I believe in God. Yes, I believe in Jesus. Yes, I believe in a quote-unquote higher power. Organized religion appears to have glommed onto that in order to make money and molest children, it appears. Because every time you turn around, we're hearing about somebody else getting fleeced or a child being hurt. My God. Nice job to Ken Kolker. Outstanding work. And I hope to God this catches on nationally. This should catch on nationally. Becca Shea says churches will deny gay couples admission, but will protect pedophiles all day long. Yeah. You know, and you notice this happens all those churches that we were talking about there. I could throw a rock and hit them. They're all here in Ottawa County, Hudsonville area. This is where the center of this is. And this is also, I can guarantee you, all these people are the same ones that are supporting pieces of shit organizations like Ottawa Impact and all that other bullshit. All right. Megan says that just as I was saying it. I wonder how many Ottawa Impact members are in them. And Stevie says Trump supporters. Absolutely. Without a doubt. Stevie says, there's more to it. She says, easy, this is a three-part series by Ken. And I think that last night was day one. Man, that is some outstanding work, Ken. Good job. Ken has always delivered. You know, he really goes the extra mile. Outstanding work. I cannot wait to see the rest of this. Boy, is that infuriating. Okay. Tophus says there is absolutely no justification for this. And if anyone does try to justify this, then you are just as guilty. Exactly. Like that guy Spronk there. He's kind of like toeing the line. He's kind of like, well, I feel bad for the victim, but what can I do? It's like, get out of there, dude. Get out of there. Stop associating with this organization that is covering all of this up. If you are like still working with them, then you are complicit. You have to leave. You have to say, you know what? You're right. The fact that you are still participating in this organization, you are not clean here. This is fucking terrible. All right. I want to go off more about it, but I don't really have anything else to say. The Great Food Giveaway is in 1 week and 2 days. Part two of that is tomorrow, I think. I'm not freaking out too much, but after the latest donations from Paul H. and John S., we have now raised $2,155 of the $3,634 needed for the Great Food Giveaway. We are just shy of 30 donations. All right. Now, I know how many people pay attention to this show. Is it Joe Rogan? No. But thousands of people consume it every single day. And I'm very appreciative of that. Lately, I've been getting some $5 and $10 donations, and that's what I'm talking about. That's what powers this. There is strength in numbers. If you got an extra five, an extra 10, drop it in our bucket, and away we go. We need $1,479, and I'm going to be making the food purchase by midweek next week. So we technically have less than a week to raise this money. Loving Rebecca. She throws a donation our way, and it's a stout $25. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I see you. So I am now taking $25 off of that. I will post the information in the chat. Uh-oh. Now they're rolling in. Rebecca number two. One Rebecca is R-E-B-E-K-A-H, and the other Rebecca is R-E-B-E-C-C-A. Some serious love coming our way as Rebecca makes a sizable donation as well. The two Rebeccas have come up big after we have started to discuss this. Great Food Giveaway. Venmo at Eric. Zeitunian. PayPal at Eric Zane. Show. I'm also going to include the link for the Amazon wish list for women's feminine hygiene products. There you go. Megan says, get the cash first. Oh, of course. I have no doubt in my mind how quickly this amount is going to dwindle down to $0 needed now that we are getting down to crunch time. Less than 1 week. So, again, we need, prior to the Rebecca's, $1,479. Now it is down to $1,404. I think that if by the end of the day We are under $1,000. We will be kicking ass. As I'm talking, the multi-talented Megan and Jeremy K, I believe it's Jeremy K, have thrown two more sizable stout donations going to the tote board. That means we now need $1,254. Nicely done. So that means in just a couple of minutes, we have torn this down $200. 1254 is what we have now. If you are enjoying the show on Twitch or listening to the audio podcast later on, by all means, throw a few bucks in our little hat here and we will raise money for these folks who could use a nice, fantastic Christmas meal, which we will be giving away on Friday, December 20 at 3 p.m. You're all invited out to just stand around. There's so many people. It's almost like we got it covered. So it turns into just kind of like a fellowship party. Easy and Kuipers sucking on darts. And then after that, we head over to Beltline Bar. Megan says, Easy, I wasn't listening. How much do we still need to raise? Well, after your very kind donation and Jeremy K., we now stand at $1,254. So that is an outstanding effort, to be sure. And a lot of these, you know, I never sweat it just because people kind of wait until we get to like in or around this amount of time where it's, you know, people want to see if the other big players come out and see what they can do. And then at the last second, fucking drop the people's elbow on them. Thank you so much. Shout out to Matt Kuipers. Maureen says, by the way, Eric, do you have your TV interview scheduled yet? I cannot wait to see you in your Christmas sweater on TV. The interesting thing about that is I sent along to my guy that works there. He's the news director. And this was the conversation. Hey, man, great food giveaway. Can I get on TV? Talk about it so we can get more people to show up. And he says, yeah, I'm texting you from the road. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. He goes, no, I mean, I quit TV after 30 years. I've become an over-the-road trucker. Like, what? Yeah, the industry's dead. It and radio are done. Like, really? Megan says, are you talking about Matt? No. Matt's a reporter. This is the news director. So I'm like, oh, boy. Okay. And then he says, yeah, contact this guy. So I reached out to the person, and it's like, actually, a person I do know. And I said to her, I go, she's the assignment editor or something like that. And I go, hey, Chris. And I don't know. I sent everything they asked me to send, all the details of who, what, where, when, why. And I haven't heard a thing. So, I mean, they'll get the follow up. Hey, any chance this is going to happen? One of those deals. But we might be on our own. I'm not worried. At 5 years in, people are going to know. Tyler says, I always love going over TV appearances by Garrick Zane. Well, it's more Eric Zaitunian, which is super gay, so I can understand using the nickname Garrick Zane. Stevie says, let's hope that no stalkers show up this year. Yeah, he might. You're talking about Mike Pellerito. Yeah, it's... I hope he doesn't show up either. I mean, I don't want to see him. I mean, it's... And besides, Sarah Rukruk-Roosh wants to kick his ass. And she might. And that would be weird if she, like, attacked him. Today on the radio show, Matt Kuipers reaches out, and every day he wants a song played, which is fine. Everybody does that. And today's a day when you can request, like we feature cover songs, famous songs by other artists. And he goes, hey, you play Enter Sandman by Ghost. I have not heard it. Now, part of the charm of the show is I'll play just about anything. But if it sucks, I'm going to throw it in the Boston bin. It's the second this song started, I knew this song is shit. I knew it. About a minute and a half into it, I start getting text messages from people who are like, what is this? This is horrible. And so after about five, now this is in like 2 minutes. After about five texts, I turned on the mic and I go, okay, so that happened. And proceeded to rip it a new one. Jeremy says, thanks for playing my request. Did it suck as much as Ghost? I don't remember. I forgot what you requested. It couldn't have been that terrible. Can you remind me as to what you played? Let's see. Well, it was that, I think I know what it was. It wasn't Disturbed. It was, hold on. Don't tell me. Dirty Nil by Surrender. Wait a minute. No, Surrender by The Dirty Nil. No, that was fine. That was actually okay. The Ghost one, it was a really weak voice. And, I mean, James Hetfield's voice in Enter Sandman is, I mean, his voice is so, you know, he's got like an extra gear. And the guy from Ghost, his voice is that of a pussy. And it just did not work. It was super bad. And I let him have it. I even said to him, I go, yeah, dude, hold on. This is the exchange I had with this dumbass. Your song is getting hammered by the audience. They hated it, and so do I. It sucked, moron. 1 week probation. He says, fucking Hill Jack, sorry that isn't a song to hump their cousin to. And then I said, it was shit. And it was. Good grief. All right. Well done, Matt. Ugh. I'm kind of glad I didn't listen to it ahead of time. Because if I had listened to it ahead of time, I wouldn't have been able to, you know, have the moment where I told him on the air that it just stinks. Okay. As always, thanks to our friends, the sponsors, Green Medicine Shop in Greenville, Michigan. You can find them at thegreenmedicineshop.com. They sell cannabis. And as of October, they are a 21 and up rec facility as well as a medical facility. So medical facility for those 21 and under with med card. I should say 21 to 18. And over 21, recreational adult use. This is big for my friends at the Green Medicine Shop. If you remember when I started marketing for them about a year ago, I was talking about, yeah, you can only buy medicinally there because the city of Greenville, the village, said they didn't want the rec selling, which finally some people with better brains prevailed and were able to make that a thing and realize the money that it brings in. This is how it works. In the state of Michigan, if you allow recreational cannabis, you are then open to receive from the state a share of the money that is raised when the state taxes recreational cannabis. So however many times a year that the Green Medicine Shop writes a check to the state of Michigan for being a recreational facility, that money then goes into the state's coffers, and then they distribute it to the various communities that have recreational facilities in their communities. So once you are, like in Greenville's case, they are now able to receive, and then somebody said, yeah, this is the dollar amount the state's going to give us if we allow this shop to open. And they went, oh, this isn't such a bad idea. They are the only cannabis store in Greenville, Michigan, largely because they were advocating for legalization of the city for over 5 years. They're on Highway 91 just north of downtown Greenville. And they're open 7 days a week, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Cannabis sales end at 8:45 p.m. due to local ordinance. Maybe you are canna curious. Maybe you're like Neuenfeld. They have a professionally trained staff and a pharmacist on site to help you choose the best option for your individual needs. I can just picture some of you that are like, have never done this before. Whatever you do, don't like get it and light it up outside of the place like you're smoking a square or something like that. You got to wait till you get home. They have all the great products, cannabis products, hemp, smoking accessories, essential oils. Their cannabis products include flower, vapes, gummies, drinks, concentrates, also known as dabs, pre-rolls, infused flower, chocolates, hash, kief, and more. So make the trip to Greenville and support my sponsor. Or if you're in the surrounding area, just go there regardless. Or if you're in Greenville, just go. Get some cannabis. Give the gift of cannabis for Christmas. I wonder if that happens. You know it does. It's been a lot of talk about insurance on the Eric Zane Show podcast. Yesterday, I had an outstanding viewpoint to try to get you fucking loudmouths to put your pitchforks away and tiki torches. Frank Fuss is the expert on getting health care from the marketplace. Go to buyinsurancehere.com and Frank will help you out today. He can also help you with Medicare, Social Security planning, and life insurance. Buyinsurancehere.com. Tophus says, I bought weed for my mom when she was dying. I'm sorry to hear that. I mean, I'm sorry that she passed. I'm not sorry that you bought her weed. He says it helps with a lot of the pain, and she was fucking funny high. Jeremy says, weed makes these legal states so much GD money. Patrick's one of the morons. He says, big insurance sucks. Rebecca says, my sister gets me gummies for my birthday every year. I think a lot of people that are audience members, I think a lot of people in general partake in cannabis. I think that the gummies might be your best bet because I think the act of lighting the joint and getting that smoke into your system, I think that that's, you know, another thing that can harm you. I don't think any of it wants to be in your body. I mean, I don't think your body's like, oh, my God, give me some THC and smoke. I think if you said that, a lot of people just, oh, yeah, I just can't deal. I cannot deal. EZ, why don't you try? Nah. Yeah, I can't do that. That to me is, it would mess with me. I know me. I try to avoid those things. I have for quite some time. Bob says, I can't partake. DOT regulations, still random test for it. And Tophus says same thing at his job. Rebecca says, I have THC mints in my bag right now. Yeah, I would feel so guilty. I would feel so bad after 30 years of sobriety to not be sober. All right. Thank you, as always, to Werner Roofing. They are at WernerRoofing.com. Get a new roof. Get an estimate today. When you go to WernerRoofing.com, you can fill out the form. You'll have a phone call by the end of the day. By tomorrow, there'll be someone here checking out your roof at your place checking out your roof. And then get that process done. Not all roofing companies are created equal. They have a terrific way for you to finance your roof, and it is pain-free. Let me tell you, that was a great process. W-E-R-N-E-R, WernerRoofing.com. They also do siding. They do gutters. They do metal roofs. WernerRoofing.com. In West Michigan, this is who I want you to call for your estimate. There are a lot of great companies out there, but I decided after getting three estimates to go with Werner. They are very thorough, very professional. There was even a moment where my crew that was putting the roof on, there was an accident, and one of the lamps on the outside of the house on either side of the garage got damaged. They replaced them all. First, they took the broken one off. They tried to get a duplicate. Couldn't find it. And they said, let's just get three new ones. And so I bought three new ones. And they bought three new ones, and then they installed them. So it was a fantastic way to make sure that everybody was happy and satisfied. WernerRoofing.com. Fun fact, Chris Werner is a longtime pal of our short fuse, Linda. They go back to like school days together. Chris may have seen short fuse Linda take somebody out. She strikes me as the type of psychopath who like punched people in the face during the school years. Tyler says that Linda is a former lover. I don't think so. She's made it very clear that that is not the case. Maureen also suggests that they may have rolled in the hay, but I'm pretty sure that is not true. She has denied that always, that they are just pals. And she, in fact, was the one who tipped me off about my pals over at Werner Roofing. Linda says, no, I wasn't as sure of myself in high school. Corey says, full on ass to mouth. Yeah, I'm pretty, this is ridiculous. God, that's a stupid thing to say, you idiot. All right, that is Act 1 of the podcast. Act 2 is available right after this one. Go check it out. What are you doing? Don't miss a second of it. Thank you so much.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.